best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
Live BP Show. We are here live at Fenway Park. Rob Bradford's looking at me like his mic doesn't work.
Oh, my mic works fine. Let's
I can't hear you.
Let's go.
All right, it's all good. I can't hear you. As long as the people can hear you, Rob.
Yeah, listen, the people can hear me.
And I can hear you now. We're good.
Okay, all right, here we go.
Yeah, we're here.
All right.
What a day at the old ballpark.
We're here at Fenway Park, and like I said, I went to the bathroom, no-hitter watch, then boom. Next thing I know, I'm up here with Steve Peralt, Jamai Webster of Nesson.
Hey.
Peralt, Section 10.
And I got to say about Jamai, this is your favorite line, Rob. Jamai is the straw that stirs the drink.
He is the straw that stirs the drink. When it comes to big games, there's only one person, or actually there's two people I want up in the booth, Steve and Jamai. I'm Rob Bradford. This is Live BP Show. We're at Fenway Park after going from...
What a game.
In a blink of an eye, that no-hitter watch, which is your... You know, Steve, we're sitting here, and you probably... We've done the show long enough. We're kind of mapping out in our heads what we're going to talk about it.
I'm taking some notes, and I'm like, this is going to be a depressing show.
Yeah, Domingo Germán, and he's throwing a no-hitter. Eighth inning rolls around. Okay, Alec Verdugo gets a double, waves in the dugout. Let's go. Okay, still, you're four runs down.
Yeah. I do love, by the way, with Verdugo, and I think Will pointed this out. I thought I saw it, that he's already pointing to the dugout the second he makes the hit. The second he hits the ball, he's like, let's go.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like they're living in their insulated world. They actually think they have a chance, and we're sitting there saying,
saying there's no way.
There's no way.
Especially with the, I don't want to say Brandon Workman is a walking white flag at this point, but when he came out in the eighth inning and no one in the bullpen, I'm like, okay, this is his game to either completely ruin or keep somewhat close.
Right, and we're going to get some sound from Alex Cora, from Kike Hernandez, from all the people who talked after this 5-4 Red Sox win. Incredible comeback win. They scored five in the eighth after being no hit for heading into the eighth inning. But we're going to get some sound, and one of the pieces of sound that I do want to get is Kike Hernandez saying that Alex Cora, when he came out, and Jamai, I want you to weigh in on this, because as far as I know, you were at the mound. You're everywhere in the park.
He really is all over the place.
When
something happens, you're usually there. But so Alex Cora comes out to the mound. They're down 4-0. They bring in Josh Taylor for my guy Rios. And according to Kike Hernandez, Cora tells everybody, if we get out of this, we're going to win the game. Now, you're down four runs. Jamai, did you feel it? Did you feel what's going on? Jamai Webster of Nesson, who's doing a great job at the sideline reporter.
Incredible job.
And also a great friend of the show, IBP. Did you feel like, were you telling everyone in the stands the exact same thing?
Absolutely not.
Oh, look at you. You were heading to
that dramatic pause.
I mean... It was looking pretty skittish there, I'll be honest. But, like, I will say that my heart palpitations started to develop at that point, meaning this team, I feel like, is never out of it until you get that 27th out. So I thought there was hope. There was a little bit of life. It wasn't a flat line quite yet, but I wasn't a believer at that point.
You know, the thing I miss, Jamai, and maybe we can get back to it, is in a game like today, your suit would be going to the dry cleaner,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I was single-handedly keeping the dry cleaning industry in business, but then the pandemic hit, affected all industries.
Stupid pandemic.
So here I am on the headsets doing my post-game walk-off interviews, unfortunately, but that could change soon. Stand by.
Listen, there's a lot that's changing.
I was going to say, from Jermaine's perspective, it's got to be nice when they do it in the eighth inning, so that you know it's not the walk-off and then the Gatorade and all that. So it saved you a suit.
Which is nice. Otherwise, I'd be
I don't know if you'd be
afraid.
Here right now.
Right.
Or you'd just be here smelling like Gatorade.
So I want to go to you guys, and you can weigh on in, 617-779-7937. This is the Live BP Show. As I said, I'm Rob Bradford. We're live from Fenway Park, along with Steve Peralt of Section 10 Bleacher Report, and Jamai Webster, obviously, of Nesson fame. And I'll go to each of you, starting with you, Steve.
Yep.
What is the big – this is a cliche question, but really it's the only one I can ask. What is the biggest takeaway from today? Because this is a type of the game where we're going to look back and we're going to say, you know, this was the Mookie Betts Grand Slam game in 2018. There's five of those a year.
This is the game of the year.
Yeah, game of the year.
This is the game of the year. And you could sense it at Fenway. I got to just say this immediately. Michael Kay, you were just so wrong.
Oh my goodness, you were just so wrong
about your analysis about this team. I understand you have to do broadcasts for a depressing Yankees club that's just trying to stay above 500. But to say that Fenway Park is reactive to big plays, especially in huge moments like today. Park was buzzing. The second that Sox fans realize, obviously it helps when you break up a no-hitter in the eighth inning, but the second that Sox fans realize, and I'm trying to think of like when it actually happened. For me, it was Franchi. When Franchi gets a hit, I'm like, all right, if Franchi's getting a hit, then literally this might go down this inning. Because obviously you're thinking you got six outs left, because that was a huge part of it too. This is all happening with no outs. And the lineup just keeps rolling. You just keep going down the list. And this is the game of the year. That's my biggest takeaway. It's that and that the Red Sox aren't out of any games.
Well, they really aren't. And you hit on a very important point of this whole series. Michael Kay's comments, I think it was Thursday night, basically saying that Fenway Park, he's talked to some people, and everybody in baseball knows that Fenway Park crowd, there's no knock on Fenway Park, of course, but here's the knock on Fenway Park, that they're front runners, that they don't get loud to get their team back in the game. They only get loud when something happens for their team. And obviously, Alex Cora comes back in the pregame show yesterday.
Love it.
And says, you know, because Michael Kay said it's like a theater, it's like a movie. Alex Cora just quickly says to Will Fleming, yeah, it didn't seem like a theater to me. It seemed like Fenway Park.
Movie theater here.
But when they're doing this, and I think that you and I are on the same page with this, when they're coming back and we're looking at the crowd, like when Verdugo gets the double, you're looking at the crowd. Okay, how is the crowd reacting? Does Michael Kay have a point? No, he doesn't have a point.
No.
And Jamai, there's no better person to ask about this because nobody roams, other than Steve, nobody roams through the park like you.
Yeah, we're big Fenway roamers.
Where were you? Yes. Where were you when the comeback happened?
Well, I started out in left field by the Coke deck there, and then I started to make my way back into the press box here on the fifth floor because I was starting to feel it myself at that moment.
Well, your instincts are keen.
Mm. I'm telling you, man, after watching 100 games, I think they would be that to that point now at this point. But I felt like it was percolating at that point. And it's funny that you mentioned the Franchi hit. I actually thought when Alex Verdugo came up, his previous at-bat, he flied out to center field, if you guys recall that. He made solid contact, batted that ball up. I felt like he had probably the best at-bats against Domingo Germán all afternoon. And I was like, if somebody's going to break up this no-no, it's going to be Doogie in this spot right here. And it just happened. And I was like, all right, here we go.
Look at you.
Well, that's another big part of this thing is that I think Fenway naturally started the buzz when it's like, we're not getting no-hit by the Yankees. Like, this is like we can, you know, exhale a little bit. You could sense that. And now all of a sudden you have a part of the lineup that's coming up that is going to have to prove to you that they're going to get it back to Kike and back to these guys. And they did. And Kike, my God, Kike Hernandez has been incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, yesterday,
is there a hottest hitter in baseball right now?
Yesterday he had a chance, to put him over the top. The Red Sox completed a sweep. And if they actually swept this series that they had no business probably even winning 3 out of 4, that would have been insane. But Kike Hernandez has been incredible.
Yeah, and there isn't – when that started rolling – so to give people an idea what happened here, here is it in a nutshell, and I'm going to do this off the top of my head because my memory is incredible.
I'm looking right at it, and I hope you get it wrong.
I probably will.
Yeah.
But it was Alex Verdugo leads off, breaks up the no-hitter in the eighth inning with a double to right.
Yes.
Okay? Then you had Hunter Renfro.
Nope. Christian Vasquez.
Oh, Christian Vasquez.
No, just kidding. No, it was Hunter
Renfro. Oh, man.
I looked too far down. No,
man.
It was Renfro with a double.
Hunter Renfro with a double. Scores.
They switched places. That's right.
Scored Verdugo. Yeah. Then Vasquez comes in with a single, and he scores Hunter Renfro. That's when Franchi Cordero gets up.
Vasquez returned the favor with one of those kind of bloopy singles that the Yankees had.
Yeah. But, you know, these are guys that at this point, you're like, okay, they have a chance. And that hasn't always been the case for this team, certainly last year.
Yeah.
So you have Vasquez with a single. He scores Renfro. Then the aforementioned Franchi Cordero, single up the middle, right? Which, by the way, not good at bats today. And we're already – we're talking about queued up for this show.
Yeah.
Here we go. Like
I already had
you
Franchi
had him
weekend
in the crosshairs.
Recap. I was like, I was ready. I was so ready. But you got to give him credit. I think it was an 0-2 count because he got down early. And then
put down a bunt.
I know. Let's talk about that because I'm there. I was with a couple of people that work for the Woo Sox today just catching up on them, and they were sad that Duran got pinch hit for. I don't blame them. But in that scenario, obviously Cora's not putting a bunt signal down. There's no way. You got a guy on first. You're down by two. you have the momentum. You have all the momentum. The Yankees are on their heels. They just lost a no-hitter. They just gave up the first runs of the game for them. And Franchi puts a bunt down. I'm like, what are you doing? It made no sense. You gave away a strike. He then swings and misses. I'm like, here we go. He's going to have three strikeouts in the day, and yep. It's going to be a huge strikeout in the eighth inning, which shuts down the comeback. But you give him credit. He finds a way to get one up the middle, and then Kike does his thing.
I think you could make the argument that was the biggest hit of the whole comeback.
Oh, I think it is.
Yeah.
Because and you can sense it, too. And I know I'm down on Franchi all the time, but, like, no one has faith in Franchi. None of the fans do. So it's not just me. I mean, people will say, like, oh, well, he had that homer in Philly. Remember that? But, like, he comes up, and I think the sense was, if you can have Franchi get a hit here, then this thing's going to keep rolling. We're going to get to the top of the lineup. You're going to get to Enrique.
I'm acing this test so far. Okay, right?
Yeah,
so I've got the Franchi.
Yeah, keep rolling. Keep your momentum.
And Kike Hernandez comes up, and he doubles.
Down the line.
Doubles down the line. Yeah. I mean, even that. Arguably, that would maybe have been the biggest hit. So now
most
you. Have,
I think that's the most important
most
one.
Important
now you're second and third with no outs.
Yeah.
And now
you have Xander Bogaerts.
You had Plawecki pinch it for Duran.
Oh, Plawecki pinch it for Duran.
Yeah, one lefty right.
Fine. Ground out. Do what you have. Did what have to do.
And put the ball in play.
Do that day. So he grounds out, gets the run in, tie ball game. Now you have Xander come up, and he flies out to right. And Kike Hernandez races home, and I'm going to look for these photos because there must be a million great photos of him bumping into about 50 different people.
He pinballed off of everybody after scoring that go-ahead run. That was funny. But, I think it was – if we're talking most important hit, most important is probably Kike, and he's been on fire, and we talk about that. But, again, Franchi keeping it rolling and having them in a scenario where we still have no outs.
Yeah.
I kept looking up, like when – and I'm an idiot. When Xander hit the pop-up, I forgot that there was still only one out. I was like, wait, Kike. Oh, right. They can take the lead right here. And sure enough, Kike does, and they hold on for the win.
Jamai, so biggest win of the year? Steve said biggest win of the year.
Without a doubt. And you don't even have to be like, you know, I always like to say you don't want to be a victim of recency bias. But, I mean, we watched it, and I've seen all 32 of their comebacks, which lead the league right now. And
that's
this
32,
one,
that's nuts.
This one is most definitely the biggest win of the year with how they done it. I mean, they were getting no hit.
I know.
Literally, between the 15-minute span, we were talking about the no-hitter, and you guys had your show for the doomsday coming down.
All the calls would have been negative, yeah.
And but here we go.
It really is, and I'm very proud of myself for this tweet, and I don't care. I'll admit it. That
Rob's proud of himself.
I am very, very proud of. I'm proud of myself. I don't just tweet lightly.
Yeah.
But this team leads the league in making you change your mind.
Yes.
And I say this from the perspective of writers. I say this perspective of doing the live BP show from whatever Nesson's doing to radio, everything to every fan in the stand. They every single time you're trying to formulate an opinion about. Not only the here and the now, and not only 15 minutes from now, but the trade deadline.
Yeah.
The playoffs.
Well,
this
team is a writer's worst nightmare because you probably got all your stuff ready to go by the eighth inning. It's like, okay, now I have to write a completely new story because they found a way to come back again.
Yeah.
They have the it factor. And you look back at some of these other teams that have made deep runs, and you just started getting that feel. And we've talked about this before on the show, Rob. This is the part of the year, start of August, is when you know if your team has it, or at least have a good idea if your team has it. And it's similar time in 2018 that they started to put the Yankees away, too, even though, let's be honest, the Yankees have been they've been out of it for a while, and they can try to chase down the wild card spot.
This is my problem. Like, okay, the Yankees win today. They creep into the conversation.
They could have convinced themselves that they have a chance.
They can convince themselves. Maybe they become buyers. Like they did. The Red Sox did the Yankees favors today. All right.
I think they're going to be buyers regardless.
They're going to be buyers. I think.
Yeah. I don't think the Yankees are going to be sellers.
Well, they don't have
anything to
sell.
You know what? Something that kind of went unreported that Luis Severino making his way back from Tommy John as well. He threw a live or he was on the mound during this series as well. So I think they're probably hopeful.
Yeah.
You know,
they
feel like they probably have some pieces, but this is certainly a back-breaking loss.
Well, it's their prerogative to be wrong, Jamai.
Yeah.
Severino's
the best guy for Yankee fans to think he's going to be good, and then he's going to suck. And then you're like, oh, right, he's not good. And so we were counting on him to be a big guy, and they just don't have it. I love the vibe test. I love the vibe check with these teams.
You do. Like we are great in terms of measuring vibes.
If you give me four Borb Zorb, I don't know. But if you give me a vibe check and you look at this Red Sox team and you just do the comparison with them and the Yankees don't have it. They don't have it. The lineup in theory should be a lot better, but it's just not. And that's a lot of my Yankee fan friends saying the same stuff over and over. It's like, oh, what if so-and-so gets hot? What if DJ gets hot? What if, Gary Sanchez goes on another big run? They're not gonna. They're showing you that they're not gonna, and they don't have the guys. They don't have the it factor that the Red Sox have.
They did up until the eighth inning today.
Still, like, if you can't close that out, you have your guy, Herman is a no-no through seven, and you're up 4-0, and they should have been up by more, let's be honest. Josh Taylor deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, he does.
Gets the deserves a lot of credit award for this show because he holds it, I believe, second and third, one out, gets out of the inning. No more runs. And then Workman comes in, I'm like, I don't know about this, and immediately there's traffic. And then he finds a way to get out of that. So
isn't that just baseball, though? Because guess what? Brandon Workman earned the win in this big game.
I know. Isn't that always funny? You're like,
that's
this is the guy I trust the least.
Why we err on the side of the analytics of vibes instead of actual
baseball.
Yeah,
I'd rather vibes than
much
the win
better
check.
To do it that way. I'm all about the vibes as well. So
yeah.
We know. That's why you're here.
Exactly.
You're a vibe
who was
guy.
Who was the post-game interview today?
Post-game interview was Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, how did that go?
I had to talk to him.
Xander's had an interesting little stretch here.
Yeah, interesting stretch here. And I wanted to get his perspective because he's always the most eloquent on the team.
Yeah.
But just about how things were going, as you guys mentioned, and he said it was payback. He actually used those words.
Oh, did he really?
I like that.
Can you put that up on Twitter so I can
oh, it's coming up. We got our social media CEO.
Payback.
She's on top of it.
All right.
That is a tweet right there.
Yeah.
But he said last night, you know, it was awful, but this was payback, and the guys were able to get it done. And talking with Timmy Hires about the team approach this week, and he felt like what we saw started by Alex Verdugo was really just taking a team at bat and at a team approach at the at bat. It's really supposed to be nine guys versus one pitcher, and they just kept moving the line.
You know, yeah. I would like to look up this at where, you know, we talk about third time through the order in baseball now. This is a big thing. But I would imagine that the Red Sox are very good at third time through the order. I'm not a big, like, oh, my goodness, you have to take the starter out because even if he's cruising third time through the order. But it feels like, and this sort of lines up with the comebacks, right? But it feels like these guys have figured out by the time they get to their third at bat what to do. Correct? Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. And more specifically, they just kind of, as Jeremiah mentioned, they really do feel like they have this team approach in the late innings. Like, it's very much not a, oh, okay, let's just find a way to get a couple guys on for JD, or let's hope Devers bails us out. You go down the lineup, and I know that's been a big concern as we go along in the season here, the 7, 8, 9 spots and the Dahlbecks and Vasquez and some of these other guys that are very hit or miss and more miss. I honestly think they really do take that team approach. And like you mentioned, Rob, earlier in the show, that Cora is saying, if you get out of that Josh Taylor inning, which they did, that he genuinely thought they could win. Now, I didn't think they were going to win. I mean, you're down 4-0. You hadn't had any hits. But I think they actually believe that they're going to win these games. And it shows because they come out and find a way to do it
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's saying that, like, obviously because we want motivation to get out of that gym.
Yeah.
Because you know that if he doesn't get out of the gym, it's over.
I felt it more with the Workman inning. Because there's no one in the bullpen. Brandon Workman's out there. He's had a rough go of it lately.
It was his show.
It really was. It was his to win or lose. And maybe not win, but you know what I mean. Well, yeah, he won. But, it just kind of felt like that inning, the top of the eighth, there's no one warming up. Workman's in there. There's traffic on the bases. Not a lot of outs. They find a way to get out of that with only giving up one run, and then you score five in the bottom of the eighth. So they find a way to do it, and they keep doing it.
All right, that's Steve Perrault of Section 10, Bleacher Report, Jemiah Webster of Ness, and I'm Rob Bradford. Let's go to the phone lines. Jeff in Watertown, what's going on, Jeff? What's happening?
What's up, Jeff?
I guess I got whiplash for that game. Went from zero to, like, on my feet, screaming. I was laid out, like, half asleep, and next thing you know, I'm, like, screaming. It was unbelievable. But there's two things, the high and the low, for me, that kind of encapsulated it, was the play in center field that I just forgot his
the
name
Durant
now. The rookie.
Went off the wall.
Going back into the triangle.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's the problem when you bring up a rookie, you know, and you're trying to count on him for something in a stretch drive. Like, small market.
Still a tough play, though,
that.
Jeff. That was a tough play.
Yeah, it was. No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, you're putting him in that position to make a difficult play in a really weird, quirky part of the ballpark. So at that point, I'm thinking, like, you know, man, this is why I wanted them to make a move earlier to get, you know. And then, but to me, the part that really blew my mind was when Alex Cora chose to bring in Taylor with the bases loaded to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton with a lefty behind him, you know, with the new rule, knowing that he has to face at least two batters. So he felt that he had a better chance, a lefty against Giancarlo Stanton, and then having a lefty to go up against, I think it was Odor, whoever behind him. But that to me was just, you know, watching that happen, I'm thinking like that wouldn't have happened before. A lefty would not have come in to face Giancarlo Stanton, but because of that rule, it made perfect sense.
Well, and this
and
is,
I really
is
felt it, that.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just thought the tide momentum turned for me when they got out of that inning. I'm sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
This is another example of Cora pushing the right buttons, because if you go back to yesterday, that was not a good performance by Josh Taylor. He didn't have his good stuff. And, you know, he hadn't really looked like the dominant guy that we had seen before. And so, okay, here we go. It was a nice run for Josh Taylor. But what does he do? He comes right back and says, oh, you know what? I still believe this is the guy. And
against the righty with power, I mean, G. Carlos Stanton sucks. I mean, that, and Gary Sanchez sucks. And he sucks.
Talk about
years.
Not having it. Stanton does not have it. He just doesn't.
He's going to be Dave Kingman. He's going to be another Dave Kingman. He's going to have a whole bunch of home runs that people are going to say, like, well, you know, it's kind of Hall of Fame kind of home run, but he's not, you know. I mean, it's just going to be one of those guys. He's going to be around forever. He's going to hit a lot of home runs, and nobody's going to remember he ever played. I mean, that to me, like, and I love, you know, I didn't even realize this until recently. I love that rule about when you bring a reliever in, they have to, you know, face, you know, three batters or at least, you know, whatever, they get out of the inning, because that really is an extra strategy. And just watching Cora play that and just thinking, like, I'm going to bring in a lefty to pitch to a right-handed slugger because I want the guy behind him, you know, to have the lefty-lefty match. So I thought that was brilliant. Cora just, he's the difference.
He's the difference. And Jeff, thanks for the call. Live BP Hall of Fame caller.
So I do want to. I think we have it queued up, ready to go. We talked before about the Cora sound. I'm sorry, the Kike Hernandez sound. Talking about Alex Cora, line up with what Jeff was talking about when they take out Rios and they're putting in Josh Taylor in a key moment. Evidently, Alex Cora. I mean, this is, we're going to look back at this comment, you know, and listen. This is a comment where you know, if it doesn't work out, nobody cares, because it's like, oh, yeah, go. You did your best to get your guys fired up, but still. Right. But now we look at it a little bit different. Here's what Kike said.
At what point did you start thinking, you know, you guys had a chance to pull this off?
Well, things weren't looking great. And when AC went up to the mound and he took Yaxel out of the game and he brought in JT, he said to us, If JT gets out of this inning, we're winning this game. And next inning, the hitting still went the same. But you know, you trust what AC says. He a lot of times he sees things before they happen, and you just go with it. And if he says that we're gonna win this game, it's probably gonna happen. And you know, they score one more, but you know, we've said it many times. We're not out of a game till the game's over, and we proved that today.
And so that's, again, Kike Hernandez after the game today, after the Red Sox won 5-4, an incredible comeback win thanks to 5 runs in the 8th inning. But Jamai Webster, you know, you've obviously been around this team more than anybody this year, and I think that you hear that and you're reminded of how important Alex Cora is. And we've been saying this, who's the MVP, it's easy to say Alex Cora, but I don't think there's any question. And you hear the confidence in the players' voices, right? I mean, this isn't like a normal thing for baseball managers, I can tell you. It's just not.
Yeah, no question about that. And, you know, as you mentioned, Rob, he's pushing all the right buttons, and he's on the short list for manager of the year right now, 100 games into the season. And you just see that X factor that he brings to these guys in initiating their belief and putting that confidence into them. And that seemed to play out in that situation there. But, I mean, we were talking about it, Jerry and I and a couple guys in the booth and OB, how it seems like he hasn't really missed this season.
No.
Things that he's done, moves that he's made. And it's crazy because he's always thinking 2-3 steps ahead, and he was in that mode, obviously, and it worked out for them.
Yeah. I was actually talking to Eck before the game today. We were talking about exactly that, is that this is feels like, even honestly, even more than 2018. Because we remember, if you want to talk about 2018 postseason, sure. I've never seen anybody push all the buttons correctly.
Lefty right in a little long, but that was about it.
Right. Oh, yeah, well, whatever.
That was about it. Yeah, he even admitted, he was like, eh, right. I probably messed that up.
Yeah, sure. But in terms of this year that he did in 2018.
And I know Jeff calls in about Josh Taylor, and it's like he hasn't given up. He had one outing. He had that one outing against the Phillies right before the break where he gives up 4 earned. In none of his other appearances since April 24th, Rob, April 24th was a long time ago.
Oh, I remember. I remember saying on April 25th, what are they doing bringing this guy in?
April 24th, if my math is right, that was, what, 3 months ago? And he hasn't given up an earned run in more than one outing since then. That's absolutely insane. So you can incredible. Do the whole lefty-righty thing, and I think sometimes we fall in love with that a little bit too much, where it's like you get too cute with it, but Josh Taylor's his guy. He trusts Josh Taylor. I can't believe I'm saying I very much trust Josh Taylor as well after the start that he had, and Red Sox fans should. That was the game right there. That second and third, one out, you don't give up any runs. That really gives you a chance to win. I do like what Kike's saying, too, of like, I mean, didn't really feel like we were going to win, but Alex said it. So, like,
so I believe it.
Probably means we're going
to
win. So.
Which actually goes to your point, too, about, you know, talking about Alex pushing all the right buttons, because Josh Taylor is one of those guys specifically who told me he's benefited from having the trust of his manager. Yeah. He knows that this guy believes in me. So, you know, I don't know the sports psychology about all of this stuff, but this stuff matters.
And it seemed like he really cared when times were bad.
I am telling you that there was Josh Taylor, if a lot of fans were running the team, a lot of
he'd be gone.
And Josh Taylor, he said, late April, he'd be gone. And we have plenty of examples now of this is one of Cora's strengths, of going back to guys when everyone's screaming, this guy stinks, this guy stinks. Now, listen. It hasn't always worked out. Yeah. I mean, the first Franchi.
Yeah, Franchi does stink. Yeah,
the first Franchi visit through Boston, a lot of the Danny Santana era, certainly. But, you know, when it comes, especially with relievers, and I always default to Alex Cora's first couple games.
Yeah.
Where Joe Kelly comes in and has a horrific opening day. Yeah. And people are screaming, Alex Cora, is Major League Baseball's too fast for him. He can't manage a bullpen. Look at this. And then what does he do? He has Kelly close out the game. I think it was like the next day.
Yeah. No, Cora trusts his guys. And he understands, and I bring it up all the time, that it's really silly that the season's this long, that the season's 162 games. He understands.
Tell me about it.
You're like, please, can we cut this in half and end it right now? But no, he gets that you're going to need these guys down the road. If you're going to start trimming these dudes off, what's your roster going to look like? Yeah. You're bringing in all these randoms, and Rios is kind of sort of one of them, and you're trying to patch this together. And now, you know, that brings us up to the trade deadline of like, all right, what do we really need for this last 2 months and then hopefully a deep run in October? And I trust Heim and I trust Cora to get the right guys. But that's the thing. You have to invest so much time in showing that you actually care about these dudes and that you're not just, you know, cutting the cord and you're not having someone go a week and a half without coming out of the pen. He gives these guys moments. Brandon Workman today, to his credit, Josh Taylor, you know, they got out of some jams. So that's what you hope to see when he's putting his trust in him.
Well, I care about Jamai. That's why I'm going to let him go home to his family.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I appreciate that,
go have dinner.
Because I did tell you, I was like, man, Rob.
You said 5 minutes.
I'm hurting. Not even that, though. I was like, I'm hurting today, man.
It's why
back
are you
to
hurting,
back
man?
The day after, you know.
We can scream and yell about what a great job you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Everybody knows that.
Give me your highlight, your best move. What is the thing that you did best today? When you run home and
today.
Say, hey, wife and kids.
Here was my best thing today.
I'm going to have to go review the tape. But I feel like the best thing I did today. Let's see. You know, I read some amazing promotions today, actually. No, I'm
kidding. Promos I did.
I'd have to say it was, you know, the post-game walk-off interview with Xander,
nice.
Which is going to be posted on Twitter shortly. I'm going to be retweeting
We're still
it.
Waiting for this tweet.
You elicited that comment when he said it was payback. He says it. But he doesn't say it unless you ask the question.
Right.
It's true.
Right. So, you know, I try to go Oprah Winfrey or, you know, some of the better interviewers of our time and pull out the content from, you know, these interviewers.
But you're
subjects.
Good at not forcing it. That's a thing. Sometimes people are like, please say the thing. You're like, you give the option, and then they say the thing.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
All right, perfect.
I mean, just it's amazing how you say, Xander, thoughts.
Yeah. Xander, yeah, no,
wow.
My favorite
wow.
one. Hey, talk about this. talk about this game. Here
I know
you
what you just did there.
It's not – honestly, it's not – you do a great job with it because it's not an easy situation because things are flying around like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Especially you know, in a situation like this.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know who I'm going to talk to.
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity to interview
when did you find out? When did you find out it was Xander? It was like right before you talked to him,
yeah,
probably,
right before. I usually have my mindset about three guys I'd like to, you know, have an opportunity to interview. And he was top of my list. But, yeah, I have, like, basically, literally 3 minutes to prepare for this post-game interview usually.
Well, you're always at the top of our list.
Very well composed.
That's why
my Webster is never rattled, ever.
We embrace you into our little family here.
I appreciate
that. Always, anytime you want to come on, swing on by, especially here at Fenway Park. It's such a we're so blessed to be overlooking Family Day.
Family Day. Everyone's having a fun time here.
If you win, you get guys on stilts on the field.
That's what Cora said in the eighth. He said, if you complete this comeback, we're going to have a picnic on the warning track. So they're very excited about what's going on here.
All right, Jamai, good to see you, man.
Hey, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right, we see everybody lined up, and I mean it. There's a ton of calls, 617-779-7937. We're going to get to all of you, but first we got to take this quick break. This is Live BP Show. I'm Rob Bradford with Steve Peralt. Be back right after this.